Chapter 4. A Girl's Gotta Fight for Her Rightful Share. Summary. CPS. Couldn't help noticing that kidnapped child you have over there. Ivy. She's not kidnapped. CPS. Do her parents know where she is? Ivy. I fail to see how that's relevant. End-of-month reports should be outlawed. This is the hill Theo has chosen to die on. Making it through another month in this city should be celebrated, not punished. Yet here Theo is, on the last Friday of July, ready to put his head through the screen of his computer, and it's not even noon yet. He's 40% through his monthly write-ups, and there's no possible way he's going to finish the other 60% by 5 p.m. Ugh. At least he's done with all the necessary visits and meetings, though. Nadia left a few of hers until this morning and hasn't made it back to the office yet. So she's in even worse shape than... Oh, there she is. She dashes up to their desk clump, looking sweaty and flushed. Her hair, normally a sleek half-up ponytail, is scraggly around her face. Why are you not answering your phone? Lost it, running from the Mad Hatter in that Arkham breakout 2 days ago, Theo says. I told you that. And you too? Nadia demands, turning to Samish and Sophia. Michelle decided to reorganize their office last week to optimize collaboration, whatever the hell that means. So now they're a perfect square of desks. Samish brings snacks. Sophia jiggles her leg all the time. Everyone's adjusting. Dropped mine into a sewer and Killer Croc ate it, Samish says. Harley hit mine with her hammer, Sophia says. It was awesome. I hate this city, Nadia says passionately. Theo, Theo, Poison Ivy is asking for you. I'm taken, Theo says. Nadia throws herself into her chair. I'm serious. She called me. Poison Ivy has my cell phone number, Theo. Theo frowns. Are you interested in women or eco-terrorists? You shut your mouth, Sophia says. Ivy is a treasure and she is right, and Batman should have just given her the rest of Lemmer's Park when she asked for it. Doing the right thing the wrong way is still... That's rich, coming from the guy dating Red Hood's right-hand man. Ivy wasn't calling for me, Nadia says shrilly. She called me because she couldn't get in touch with you, Theo, because apparently you lost your phone, Theo, and apparently Red Hood has been giving out my cell phone number as the backup for people trying to reach you, Theo. You're listed as my partner on my business cards, Theo points out. I did not think that your business card would end up in Poison Ivy's possession, Theo. I can see that you're upset about this, Theo begins reasonably. You've been in Gotham for almost 6 months, Nadia, Samish interjects. These things have got to stop being surprising to you at some point. Nadia lets out a wordless shriek of rage. What was she even calling about? Theo asks, tentatively nudging Samish's box of baklava bites over to Nadia's corner of the desk clump. Nadia stuffs two pieces of pastry in her mouth and says, There's a lost kid in Robinson Park. Theo has never worn a bulletproof vest before. I really don't see the point of this, he says, trying not to giggle when the cop adjusting the straps on the vest tickles his sides with bony fingers. Ivy doesn't have guns. You got anything for, like, poisonous vines? A hatchet edged with vibranium, maybe? Commissioner Gordon gives Theo a sharp look. Do we need to go over the rules again? It was a joke, Theo says, but relents when Gordon just keeps staring. Stay on the path, don't hurt the plants, don't touch anything, don't breathe out too hard at any flowers, definitely don't breathe in around any flowers. You know I grew up in Gotham, right? I'm not new. That's the only reason I'm even considering this, Gordon says. Plus the fact that it's the mayor's kid and Ivy says she'll only deal with me. There is also that, Gornet admits. You sure you want to do this? We could still change the plan. Send in a team. This doesn't need to escalate, Theo says, looking warily at the 24 or so cops and cop-adjacent people crowded around the edge of the forest. There are multiple tents involved. Hood gave her my contact information for a reason, and Ivy's not a danger to kids unless they're little shitheads who need to learn not to fuck with nature. It'll be fine. We could at least wait for your backup to arrive. Theo's backup is Nightwing, who he was only able to get in touch with because he has Steph Brown's phone number on file at the CPS office, and only because Steph was willing to pass Nightwing's number to Nadia's phone via text message while in summer school class. Nadia is possibly now helping Steph cheat on her history test. Theo's letting that slide for the time being, because Steph answered when Tim didn't, which Theo very much intends on giving him shit for later, and good behavior should be rewarded. For now, one crisis at a time. And this is Theo's crisis to handle, because Robin, Red Hood, and some of Red Hood's top people, including Max, are two states away, trying to chase down Hatter after the Arkham breakout that led to Theo losing his phone in the first place. There's no one else available that Ivy will agree to talk to. Nightwing's on his way from Bloodhaven, but he's still 30 minutes out, and there's a kid stuck in Robinson Park past the demarcation line between civilized green space and jungle that Ivy's been in charge of since the endangered Fernleaf incident. And Ivy, apparently, wants to take this opportunity to negotiate for control of the abandoned factories on the outskirts of town, with the kid as leverage. So here Theo is, wearing a bulletproof vest on the hottest day of the year, a police communicator tucked into his ear, getting ready to walk past that demarcation line himself. Alone. He'd almost rather be at the office working on his reports. Almost. It'll be fine, Theo repeats, and walks towards the impenetrable wall of vines that have sprung up between trees. They recede as he approaches, peeling back just enough to expose the edge of a packed earth trail, wide enough for one. Or it'll be my supervillain origin story. One or the other. Not funny, Gordon says. Not joking, Theo responds, and the vines close ranks behind him.
My mom doesn't have control of those factories, Maya Reyes, 10 years old, and the only child of Gotham's current mayor, is saying when the path spits Theo out into a clearing.
She knows the people who do, though, sweetie, Poison Ivy says. Uno.
Maya sets down a card. Draw four. Those people aren't answering their phones. Mom thinks they're out of the country. That's what she said when you let me talk to her. And you can't just keep me in here until they're back from their trip.
Theo says. Hi?
Hi, Maya says brightly. Are you Theo? Ivy said you were coming. Do you want to play Uno?
Sure do, Theo says. Deal me in on the next round. We all doing okay in here?
I'm missing soccer camp, Maya says. Do you think Coach Patel is going to kick me off the team?
Theo crosses the clearing cautiously,
watching his step, and settles cross-legged onto the dirt. He swings his bag, bulletproof vest draped over the flap from where he'd taken it off immediately after leaving Gordon's line of sight, into his lap and starts digging through it. This seems like a pretty good excuse to miss practice. He pulls out his water bottle. Are you thirsty? It's hot out today. Maya grins and turns to Ivy.
Ooh, Ms. Ivy, do the thing, please.
Ivy waves an elegant hand. An overhead tree bends one of its branches down, presenting Theo with a furled leaf of rainwater. Very hospitable, Theo says, wondering if the GCPD people listening in on this, through his comm, can tell that his voice is half of an octave higher than usual. He gently uses a finger to tip the leaf towards his mouth. The rainwater is cool and slightly sweet. Thank you. The child is safe here, Ivy says. It's good to see that, Theo says, because her mom got pretty worried when her driver couldn't find Maya at the normal pickup spot.
I just wanted to see the daffodils, Maya says. They were only across the street, but then there were some lilies too, and tulips after those.
She sighs.
Flowers are really pretty, Mr. Theo. I only wanted to look at them, I promise. And I was going to go to soccer after, but then I met Ms. Ivy.
Flowers are very pretty, Theo agrees. And I bet Ms. Ivy knows that you like flowers. Ivy has the decency to look slightly ashamed. I was never going to hurt her. Mayor Reyes knows the Drakes personally. The Drakes? Theo repeats. Like Jack and Janet Drake? What do they have to do with this? Drake Industries owns the abandoned factories, Ivy says. They have been unresponsive to my previous inquiries about their willingness to part with the land.
Vitalis, Gordon says into Theo's earpiece. Want to explain to me why I've got Robin on the other line asking to talk to you?
It's really not a good time, Theo says, pointing to his ear and making an apologetic face at Maya and Ivy.
He says he's returning a call. Actually, what he specifically says is,
Spoiler had to call me because Theo couldn't actually be bothered to call directly.
Robin cuts in after a beep, in which, presumably, lines get linked together. He's mid-rant.
Didn't call Red Hood or Max either, which, by the way, they are pissed about.
I lost my phone, Theo says. I don't have numbers memorized, and you're all in the wrong state anyways. Hi, Theo, Robin sighs. Max says to remind you that there was a conversation about not getting involved.
Please inform Max that I will not be accepting comments or criticism at this time, Theo says.
Now go away. I need to figure out how to get in touch with Jack or Janet Drake, or someone at Drake Industries who's important and can make decisions.
Robin's voice also pitches upwards, which makes Theo feel better until he remembers that Robin is a 15-year-old.
The Drakes?
The old factories out by Millwater. That's what Ivy wants, in exchange for letting Maya Reyes go. Apparently, the Drakes own them.
Robin lets out a long stream of air.
Okay, have you talked to Tim?
Tim who?
Tim Drake?
My intern? Theo blinks. You know my intern?
Your intern is Jack and Janet's kid, Robin says, in a tone of voice that means he's faking patience, while imagining beating Theo with his own ripped-off arms.
It's a tone he learned from Red Hood.
It's very distinctive. And acting CEO of Drake Industries whenever they're out of the country.
Theo wonders if Ivy would maybe consider bundling Theo up in some vines like a mummy and letting him become part of the jungle.
It sounds peaceful.
Tim is 15.
16, actually.
I know that, Theo hisses with so much vehemence that Maya, who
who's gone back to playing Uno with Ivy, looks up in alarm.
I went to his birthday party. It's like after New Year's when you write the date wrong for a few weeks.
Wait, when's your birthday?
Excuse me?
Robin, this is important. Do you get birthday parties? Does Batman let you have birthday parties?
Theo?
Robin says gently.
Just a suggestion. Maybe focus on talking to Tim Drake first and worry about whatever new way you found to be offended by Batman later.
Maya climbs halfway into Theo's lap and takes hold of his face with both hands.
Mr. Theo, does Robin not get birthday parties?
It's sounding like no, Maya, Theo says, pulling a dramatically upset face.
But that's so sad, Maya says. Tell him he can come to my birthday party and we can share, but it's not until November. I hope that's okay. Oh, and the theme is Narwhal Mermaid Space Rangers. You can come too, Miss Ivy.
Maya scrambles away from Theo and goes for Ivy.
Do you want to come? My mom probably won't be mad anymore.
A Hood here. Robin had to go,
comes Red Hood's voice.
But I called Tim while you were talking and he picked up.
Hey, sorry, Tim says, sounding a little breathless. I slept in. What's this I hear about some factories that my parents' company definitely isn't using anymore that I'd be happy to sign over to Ivy, especially if she endorses the new Drake's Industries above-ground mass transit plan I've been working on?
You never sleep in, Theo says.
I took the day off,
Tim says defensively.
And that was definitely the most important part of that,
Red Hood says.
Nice work, Theo. Someone should call Nightwing off.
Is it Theo's imagination, or is his voice echoing a little bit? Weird. He'll have to tell Gordon to check his equipment.
Though this also could just be the long overdue stress breakdown that's been circling for a few weeks. Months. Whatever.
He was rushing over here to help.
I'll let him know, Gordon's gruff voice says. You and the kid coming out of there anytime soon? I've got an anxious mayor asking for updates.
It takes more than 3 hours for all the details to be worked out. Tim and Ivy go back and forth on contract clauses via phone call. Ivy swinging from a vine hammock with Theo's work tablet propped up by a frame of pine cones is a sight, that's for sure. Theo gives his statement to multiple officers and once directly to Commissioner Gordon, who invites Theo to have a beer with him sometime.
Us normal guys have got to stick together, Gordon says seriously.
Maya insists on introducing Theo to her mother, and Theo uses the opportunity to shamelessly petition for better funding for Gotham Social Services.
Even a 5% increase in our budget would make a huge difference, Theo says.
Or just stop cutting our budget year over year. We could...
What would you do with the money?
Mayor Elena Reyes asks. She hasn't let go of Maya's hand since Maya and Theo walked out of the trees together. Maya's enduring it, and the probably extremely boring adult conversation happening over her head with remarkable patience. She's braiding wildflowers into her hair. They keep growing out of the ground on abnormally tall stems and dropping themselves into Maya's palm.
Ma'am?
You saved my daughter, Elena says. I can't guarantee an actual funding shift in our next fiscal year, but I can express my gratitude with a financial gift to your department. 5%, you said?
That's very nice,
Theo says, trying very hard not to calculate what 5% of CPS's budget is and what it must be like to just have that sort of money lying around.
But I didn't actually save anyone. Maya was never in danger.
Elena waves a hand dismissively. It's the hand that's been holding Maya's, and Maya immediately uses her newfound freedom to run off towards someone else who's playing with Ivy-gifted wildflowers. A guy sitting in the grass near the cop's makeshift HQ tent, weaving himself a string of blue daisies. You said you could make a difference, Elena says. What's the first thing you would do?
Well, Theo says. He has ideas. Of course he has ideas. He has a PowerPoint for this, too, actually. But Ivy has his tablet, so it's just gonna be whatever from the list comes to mind first. There's this shelter and this Girl Scout troop. Let me start from the beginning. Another 45 minutes later, Theo is finally told he's free to go. He's trying to summon the fortitude necessary to trek back to the office and marathon through his end-of-month reports when Gordon calls him over. If you ask me to clarify something in my statement again, I will jettison myself into the sun, Theo says, walking over to where Gordon's standing near the park entrance with another man. Have mercy, Commissioner. Gordon raises his hands placatingly.
Just a quick introduction, I swear. Ivy mentioned that she's not the only one who's been handed your card, and Grayson here pops up from Bloodhaven every now and then to help us out with atypical cases. He lived in Gotham long enough to really know the lay of the land. He's a good guy, and a good guy for you to know. Theo Vitalis, meet Detective Dick Grayson.
Theo does not need an introduction to Dick Grayson. Everyone in Gotham knows Dick Grayson, in the way that everyone knows all people who are minor celebrities by dint of being really, really rich, or really, really attractive. Dick Grayson was both of those things for most of Theo's teenage years, the former by being Bruce Wayne's ward, and the latter by existing with cheekbones like that. Theo missed what happened between Wayne and Grayson that caused their falling out. Theo was in undergrad at the time and a little preoccupied, and still telling himself that it was creepy for Theo, at age 22, to have a crush on Grayson, then aged 18. So he merely noted that Grayson moved to Bloodhaven, and that was that. Wayne adopted a younger teenage son, Jason Todd, a few months later. Black hair, blue eyes, a matching set. There was a lot of speculation, a lot of horrible things said in the papers about everyone involved. Theo didn't pay attention to most of it until Jason Todd died, at just 15 years old. There was a private, closed casket funeral with only one picture released. Wayne and Grayson standing next to each other for the first time in more than a year. The Dick Grayson standing in front of Theo today looks just like that picture, only 5 years older, and much, much happier. He's average height, with broad shoulders and a trim waist. He has thick, tumbling black hair and stunning blue eyes. Being the focus of his friendly smile is what Theo imagines it's like to stand next to a star that's going supernova. He's wearing a crown of blue daisies, made 3 rows tall with Maya's help and Ivy's magic. Grayson offers his hand.
It's nice to meet you, Theo.
Theo has had a very long day, and it's not over yet. He thinks he can be forgiven for the way he says, far too loudly, I can't do this right now, and books it out of the park. It's not possible. Flower crown, favored by poison ivy, easy physicality. Theo hasn't seen any of his masked friends today. Not that any of them would answer a direct question about this, but black hair, blue eyes. It's not possible.
We've been working on your reports, Sophia says, when Theo finally makes it back to the office.
Your note-keeping system is a disaster, Samish says. But there was enough detail for us to queue up drafts. All you need to do is review and make edits. Shouldn't take more than an hour.
Max texted that they felt bad about not being here for you after a rough day, so they sent over a delivery of Vietnamese food from that place 4 blocks over that you like, Nadia says. And not just for you, for all of us. You need to keep dating Max forever.
That's the plan, Theo says faintly, Because his other option is blurting, I think Dick Grayson was the second Robin. And, well, nope.
But what if he didn't die? Theo rants to Max a few days later. They're at Max's place, a walk up in the Narrows. Theo doesn't open cabinets here anymore because he found a grenade in what was supposed to be a canister of breadcrumbs once. What if the second Robin didn't actually die? We all thought he did because the current Robin took over without explanation and Batman was totally losing his shit for a while in between, but there was never, like, an announcement? What if the second Robin just quit because he decided to uphold the law or whatever as a cop instead of a vigilante? Theo? Think about it. Grayson moved to Bloodhaven and the second Robin showed up just a few months later. It's good cover, right? Living in a different city. But I bet Nightwing, the first Robin, was training him in blood the whole time. I thought you thought the second Robin was a crime alley kid, Max says, tracing abstract shapes on Theo's bare knee. Isn't Grayson from the circus? Theo frowns. He had the accent and the attitude, but those can be faked. That kind of makes me mad, I think, like he was playing us almost. He flings his arms out when he remembers his next point. But Nightwing told me, to my face, that the second Robin used to make flower crowns, and Grayson was wearing one. Your evidence is a flower crown. And he has black hair and blue eyes. Nightwing also has black hair and blue eyes, Max says. So does Tim. So does the current Robin. So does Hood, actually. Although, I suppose his eyes can look green, depending on the light. Stop being reasonable and be excited about this. I'm connecting the dots. I love you, Max says. But you haven't connected shit. Theo's next argument, that if Wayne knew Grayson was training to be the next Robin, that totally explains why Wayne and Grayson's relationship fell apart. Because Wayne lost his parents to Gotham's violence and wouldn't have wanted his ward in the same situation. Stutters and dies in his head. You love me? Max blinks a couple times. Yes, I do. Conspiracy theories and all, I suppose, which is unfortunate for me. Shut up. You love me. This wasn't something you said just to make me stop talking, or one of those things where you love me but you're not in love with me, or something you're going to take back tomorrow, or... Max rolls them and pins Theo's wrists next to his head on the mattress. I'll check again in the morning, but it's feeling like a forever thing. Forever? Theo repeats, voice high and tight in his chest. How about you stop thinking about Robin for a while? Max suggests. I can be very distracting. Okay, everyone, Theo says. What are the rules? One at a time.
Stay on the path, Susanna says. Don't touch the plants,
chorus Lucy and Lily, the Fradinger twins.
Stay with a buddy,
says Maya, who'd insisted on tagging along and is smiling beatifically at Theo, like she hasn't gone to hang out with Ivy by herself twice more in the last week.
Good, good, Theo says. Can anyone tell me what we left out? Sinead?
The shyest member of Gotham Girl Scouts Troop 1103, which runs out of a shelter for women and children leaving unsafe home situations, scrunches up her freckled face.
Be nice to Ms. Ivy?
That's exactly right, kiddo, Theo says, offering her a high five. Sinead extends her hand tentatively over Steph's shoulder, where she's getting a piggyback ride, and lightly taps his palm with her fingertips. Everyone have their garbage bags and gloves? Sunscreen? There's a round of affirmative responses from the dozen 8 to 12-year-olds,
and their college-age supervising troop leaders, as well as from Steph and Tim. Steph and the college girls usher the group towards the trees of Robinson Park, where an arched entrance made of flower-covered vines leads to a sunny, well-marked path. Half a mile in, they'll come across the picnic lunch Ivy and Theo spent this morning setting up. Ivy will give them a brief lesson in living in harmony with nature and talk about the differences between honeybees and bumblebees, and send each Girl Scout and Ryan, Susanna's little brother, home with a tiny potted sapling and instructions to plant it in the courtyard at the shelter. Each troop member will earn a very special, very custom nature badge. This is the first program Thea's been able to enhance with Mayor Reyes's reward money. It won't be the last. Theo's got plans. All of their parents signed off on this? Tim asks skeptically, hanging back with Theo to walk behind the group. Tim's got something else he needs Ivy to sign for the factories, and Drake Industries agreed to match Reyes's donation for any programs involving Ivy or Gotham's sustainability practices. We had a meet and greet with Ivy at the shelter last week, when she was revitalizing the courtyard, Theo says. It was awkward at first, but Sinead's mom used to be a botanist, apparently, and they really hit it off. Got the ball rolling. Tim eyes the girl hanging on Steph's back. A botanist, huh? She looking for a job? I need a botanist for Drake Industries. Actually, I need, like, four of them. Speaking of Drake Industries, Theo says, were you planning on telling me that you're acting CEO? It's not a secret, and it's only been for the last 6 months or so. Tim, Theo sighs, you realize that with a stable, high-paying job and the references you're probably able to provide, we could have gotten you emancipated without any trouble? Tim stops walking. Or, Theo adds, since you have access to pretty much unlimited funds, you could have just actually hired yourself a nanny, a whole flock of them, Gotham University students to sit in the kitchen at Drake Manor and hang out with you after school? Tim is still not moving. None of this had to happen, Theo says. The whole charade with Red Hood and Nightwing. It's not a charade. They're my family, Tim snaps. Then takes a couple deep breaths that make his nostrils flare. Sorry, it's just... No, I did not realize those things, which is not like me. And now that you've pointed it out, I can see how much of you and Nadia's time I probably wasted that could have been better spent on kids who actually needed you, but... Whoa, Tim. They're my family, Tim says again. And Theo is flat out fucking astonished to see tears shining in Tim's eyes. And I wouldn't... Don't tell them, okay, Hood and Nightwing? I don't want them to... People leave me behind a lot, and I just... Please don't tell them. Please. I promise I'm not being a burden on them. I really do take care of myself most of the time, and I... If they get sick of me, I'll leave. Of course I will, but... Oh, God, do you think they felt obligated to... Tim, Theo says, putting his hands on Tim's shoulders. Nightwing and Red Hood came very, very close to having a slap fight in my apartment over which of them cares about you more. They each keep a copy of your guardianship paperwork on hand digitally at all times, just in case someone asks. But Nightwing is trying to make common law adoption a thing, in the way that common law marriage is a thing, and doesn't seem at all deterred by the fact that you'll be 23 by the time 7 years has passed. Hood has your parent-teacher conference nights on his calendar for the next 3 years, which is frankly going to be a security nightmare, but I appreciate the spirit. They love you, kid, not conditionally or because they feel obligated, or because they think you don't have anywhere else to go. They love you. Tim looks up at him with the saddest blue eyes Theo's maybe ever seen,
and Theo realizes two things. One, Theo's an idiot, and Max is right. In all things, always. There are millions of people with blue eyes and black hair. Theo was hoping that there was secretly a happier ending to the second Robin story. But looking at a devastated Tim Drake, Theo knows he was wrong. Dick Grayson wasn't the second Robin, because, like Jason Todd, like all the other children this city has failed, the second Robin died. Gotham isn't a place that lends itself to happy endings. Two, for all that Tim is competent and mature and brilliant, for all that Tim is rich and privileged and independent, he's still just a kid. And right now, he's a kid who needs to be hugged by his brothers. Theo is almost 100% sure that's the dynamic. Pronto. Theo gets out his new phone. He'd reactivated his old one earlier, and that would have been fine, except Tim saw it and got capital O offended at Theo using something so outdated. So now Theo has a model of Wayne Enterprises' phone that he's pretty sure isn't even available to the general public yet. Rich people, man.
What did Ivy do? Hood asks when he picks up. Theo, is everything okay?
Adds a sleep-heavy Nightwing when his side of the call connects, too. Tim is crying in the middle of Robinson Park, Theo says, squishing a hand into Tim's face to hold him off when Tim squeaks and tries to grab the phone away. Come collect your little brother before the Girl Scouts decide to keep him. Be there in 45, Nightwing says immediately, sounding much more awake.
Only if you break traffic laws, Hood says. I'll be there in 10.
I will call the Flash, Nightwing says, and I will be there in 2.
Having a speedster best friend is cheating.
Gotham isn't a place that lends itself to happy endings. Theo has known this for a long time. But watching the smile that spreads across Tim Drake's face as his brothers bicker, watching Maya Reyes talk Steph Brown's ear off about her favorite vigilante, spoiler, naturally, Theo thinks, maybe. There's a chance, a possibility, an option every day to decide to keep trying. And maybe, in Theo's estimation, is always worth fighting for.